Turn to Proverbs 8:36. We'll finally finish up Proverbs chapter 8 tonight and get into Proverbs chapter 9 as well. Proverbs 8:36 says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." So, of course, this is wisdom speaking, as she has been for the whole chapter. And the verse opens up here with a contrasting conjunction called but. And but contrasts what is being spoken of in this verse with what had been spoken of in the previous verse or verses. So let's look at that first part of the verse. "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul." So we learned in the previous verse, in verse 35, that whoever finds wisdom finds life and obtains favor of the Lord. It says, "For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." And in the previous verses to that, we learned how to find life and favor of the Lord. And that is by keeping wisdom's ways, hearing her instruction, not refusing it, watching and waiting for her. Verses 32 through 34. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me daily, or that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Now I've gone back to these previous verses because we need to get that information in front of us and then negate that information. Because that's what but does. But negates that information. So we can find out what verse 36 is talking about by looking at the opposite of what these previous verses just said. So when it says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul," how do you sin against wisdom? You do the opposite of what was just said. Therefore, in the context, he that sins against wisdom doesn't keep her ways, refuses to hear her instruction, and pays no attention to her. Because those other things were done to be blessed by wisdom, to get life and obtain favor of the Lord. To sin against her is the opposite then. So in other words, the person that doesn't read their Bible, doesn't listen to the sermons, doesn't do anything that he learns from instruction, that type of person is sinning against wisdom and wronging his own soul. Now, who knows? Let me just ask you, what is sin? Anybody give me a nice, succinct definition of sin?
Transgression of the law.
Right, that's all right. That's what it says in 1 John 3 and verse 4. You could say disobeying God, not doing what God says, things like that. But John defines sin for us with those very words. 1 John 3 and verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." I remember Ben Fritzel, before he died, sent me this video that somebody in his family had sent him of this clown megachurch preacher explaining to people what sin is and going in all this detail about how sin is not viewing yourself the way that God views you and all this stuff. And I thought, buddy, you just wasted a half an hour spewing forth nonsense and drivel, and one verse literally, like, it gives you a dictionary definition of what sin is, and it totally contradicts everything you just said. It was really quite amazing. But anyway, so that's what sin is, the transgression or the going beyond the law. God says, don't do this, you go beyond that, you have transgressed it, so therefore you've sinned. And we know that wisdom is found in God's word, right? Proverbs 2 and verse 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So therefore, he who transgresses God's law sins against wisdom, because wisdom is found in God's law, and if you transgress God's law, you've sinned. How do you sin against wisdom? You transgress God's law, which is wisdom. Okay? Now, he that sins against wisdom not only wrongs her, but he wrongs his own soul. He wrongs himself. So this is one of those things where breaking God's law, which is the case with breaking most laws, is not only harmful to, and it's not only an offense to whoever made the law, but it's also detrimental to oneself. Because God's commandments are given for our good. If you turn to Deuteronomy 10 and verse 13, you get a couple of verses here. which shows us this. Now, in our fallen natures, we look at some of God's commandments and his restrictions, and you just think, well, that's not for our good. That just really puts a damper on my life and cramps my style, and there's a lot of things I'd like to do, but I can't because God says not to, and it's not really for my good. It's just, you know, God's just trying to make me miserable. Of course, that's foolish thinking. That's childish thinking, because doesn't Braden probably think a lot of your laws and your rules, he probably thinks that they're just to make him miserable, right? Just because you're mean, right? You think, Braden, do you think your parents make up rules just because they're mean?
Yeah. There's honesty right. for you.
Of course he does. Yes. But someday Braden will realize, you know, actually, Dad and Mom made these rules for my good because they cared about me and they didn't want me to do something that was going to hurt myself or mess up my life or cause me all kinds of trouble. So someday Braden will figure that out when he gets older, and someday when we get older spiritually, we'll figure out that God wrote all these laws for our good too, not just to make us miserable and cut out opportunities in our lives that we wish we could have. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 13 says, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Not for my good. God doesn't say for my good. He says for thy good. I've commanded you these things for your own good. Look at Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24. See, you know, this is fine for God to give us laws for our own good because he's a benevolent, omnipotent, omniscient creator, and he truly gives them to us for our good. I'm very wary of any other type of ruler that gives me laws for my own good, because usually they're for his own good or for somebody else's own good, not for my own good. And those are the most dangerous kind of tyrants, the ones that are doing it for your own good, because they can go to bed every night thinking that they are doing it for you, to help you, when they're really not. Anyway, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. So he commanded these things for our good always. He always has our best interest in mind. We're told in Proverbs 19:8 that he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. Proverbs 19, verse 8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, but he that keepeth understanding shall find good. Isn't that interesting? God's law is for our good, and you keep understanding, you keep God's word, in other words, it'll be for your good. And if you're smart, you'll do it, because it's, you know, you love yourself, you benefit yourself by doing that. But on the other hand, the person that despises instruction hates himself, he hates his own soul. Proverbs 15 and verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So if we break God's commandments and sin against wisdom, we just end up harming ourselves, right? We're not really hurting, or we could hurt somebody else, but we ultimately end up hurting ourselves. We always hurt ourselves, and sometimes we hurt other people as well. We're told in Proverbs 13 and verse 15 that the way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. And I've seen this with little people. I've seen this with big people that just look and shake my head and just think, boy, you just like to make your life hard. I've seen little kids that are just strong-willed, stubborn, obstinate, and they're just going to disobey, and they know they're going to get a beating, and they do it anyway, and it's just like, boy, you've got a hard life in for you until you get that figured out. I've seen that one. You know, people who don't live their lives according to the Bible make their lives hard. And then what do they do after that? Complain about it. They make decisions which make their life hard, and then they complain about it. I'm so tired. I'm so worn out. I've got so much to do. Well, it's because you're not ordering your life according to the Scripture. You're doing a bunch of other stuff that you're not supposed to. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Right? And then they blame God for it. Here are some examples of men who sin against wisdom and wrong their own souls. I'll just give you a couple of them. like the guy that disregards wisdom's instruction about adultery. You remember we looked at that back in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Right? This is a perfect example of that. He hurts other people in the process, but he destroys himself also. Or here's another one. A guy that partners with a thief says that he also hates his own soul. Proverbs 29:24. Proverbs 29:24. Whoso is partnered with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. To bewray means to give something away. Like it said that Peter's speech bewrayeth him, I believe, right? What's the word I'm looking for? It's an indication of something, right? He hears cursing and doesn't recognize it. He's hearing the cursing but he's not putting two and two together and saying, wait a minute here, something's wrong. This guy is partnered with a thief and he hates himself. And why would a guy that partners with a thief hate his own soul? Well, for one thing, if you're partnering with a thief, he's probably robbing you and stealing from you as well. And then, of course, you're stealing from other people, which is going to get you put in jail, which is going to ruin your life. So you partner with a thief, you are hating yourself. It says in Proverbs 20 and verse 2, that those who provoke a king to anger sin against their own soul. Proverbs 20 and verse 2. Especially in those days where the king was the law, and you provoke a king to anger and he could just put you to death. In our system, it's not supposed to work that way anyway. Wouldn't surprise me if it does, and for that matter, really. It kind of is now. Like the people, and I was not in favor of what they did at all, but the people on the January 6th so-called insurrection thing, a lot of those people are still rotting in prison, solitary confinement, haven't got a court date. It's like, you sin against the government, they're going to come after you. So yeah, that was a really stupid idea. I don't know. Whoever was following those provocateurs was not using wisdom and thinking. That was a really, really dumb idea. Anyway, Proverbs 20 and verse 2 says, the fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. Well, if you have sinned against the king, or if you provoke a king and sin against your own soul, how much more so if you provoke God to anger? Wouldn't you say you're sinning against your own soul if you provoke God to anger? How about Jeremiah 25 and verse 7? Jeremiah 25 and verse 7. It says, yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your own of your hands to your own hurt. You provoke the Lord, you end up doing it to your own hurt. Just like provoking a king, you end up sinning against your own soul. And then the verse goes on to say, and this will be the last phrase of Proverbs chapter 8, all they that hate me love death. So how exactly is it that we hate wisdom? Because, I mean, I don't know anybody, I've never met a person that says, you know, I just hate wisdom. I hate making good decisions. I try to make every decision as badly as I can. Nothing makes me more irritated than when I make a good decision and do something that's good for my life. Nobody says that, right? Nobody says, I hate wisdom. I just hate getting things right. Nobody does that, right? But there are people that do hate wisdom. They just won't say it, and they don't realize it.
No, right? But they say ignorance is bliss.
That's true, and that is a way of essentially despising wisdom, because you'd rather be dumb than smart, yeah. But still, they won't come out and say they hate wisdom. They'll say something that certainly lends itself to that. So how do you hate wisdom? Well, remember, wisdom is found where? God's words, God's commandments. How do we love God?
Keeping his word and his commandments.
Keeping his commandments, right? John 14 and verse 15. I really don't even need to turn there. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So to the extent that you don't keep God's commandments, you don't love God, you don't love Jesus Christ. To that extent. If you keep every one of his commandments that you know of, then you can say you love him fully with your whole heart. But if there are commandments where you look at it and you're like, nah, I'm not doing that one. To that extent, you don't love Jesus Christ. Any commandment that we don't keep, any bit of wisdom that we don't accept, to that extent, we're fools. To that extent, we don't love God and Jesus Christ. So we hate God when we don't keep his word. And therefore, we hate wisdom when we don't keep God's word. I'll just give you here a few examples of people that hated God by not keeping his commandments. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 2. Now, most people won't admit to hating God either. There's a lot of people out there that hate God. I mean, every man does in his natural state, but there's a lot of people out there that actively hate God, but they won't admit it. Like, atheists hate God, but of course they say there is no God, but yet some of them spend their life trying to disprove his existence and railing against him. It's like,
it's a lot of energy to spend on something you don't think exists.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't spend any time railing against the fact that Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny don't exist. Right, I mean, I don't make websites devoted to the fact that Santa Claus doesn't exist and proving it and going on explorations of the North Pole and, you know, and all these things to prove that Santa doesn't exist, right? But there are people, literally, I mean, I knew a guy that had a website devoted to this whole God doesn't exist thing and all of his lectures and all the things that he'd written. His whole life was devoted to the fact that God doesn't exist. I mean, this guy hated God, but he couldn't admit that he hated God, because if he admitted that he hated God, he'd have to admit that God existed. Yeah. It's really amazing. August Berkshire was the guy's name. Met him up in Minneapolis. He was quite an interesting character. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him, that is Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. He had helped Ahab, king of Israel. And Ahab, king of Israel, was not a keeper of God's commandments. Ahab, king of Israel, didn't want anything to do with God. It was said of him that he had sold himself to work wickedness. And that there was none like Ahab that he had sold himself to work wickedness. So he had excelled all that had gone before him. I don't think he held that record, because as you go on through the kings, things got worse and worse. But he was a wicked king, and he hated the Lord. Though I don't remember of him saying, I hate the Lord. I'm sure he didn't say that. But he did, by his actions. We're told in Proverbs 14 and verse 2 that they that are perverse in their ways despise God, which is another way of saying they hate God. So you don't have to say, I hate God, to hate God. All you have to do is be perverse in your ways. Just go out there and get drunk, get high, shack up with some woman, have some kids out of wedlock, you know, steal from your boss at work, whatever. You're saying by your perverse ways that you hate the Lord. Proverbs 14 and verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Or how about being perverse in your religious ways? How about being shown the truth and just rejecting it because I just don't want to believe it. I don't want to commit to that. I don't want to do that. I want to keep doing Christmas. I want to keep going to this church that I've always gone to. I want to go where the family goes. What are you doing? You're being perverse in your ways, in your religious ways, in your spiritual ways. And to that extent, you despise the Lord. And then you have people that just flat out speak out against the Lord and his word, and they certainly hate him. Psalm 139, verses 20 through 21. People like that hate God, And I hate people like that. And I say that without reservation. I don't say that I hate very many people, but I hate people that hate God, that speak out against God, that blaspheme God's name. I truly hate them with a perfect hatred. Just like David said. Psalm 139, verses 20 through 21 says, "For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee." I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. I don't hate my enemies, because we're supposed to love our enemies. I hate God's enemies, though. I really do. When I hear somebody intentionally using the Lord's name in vain, I'm not just talking about some good old boy idiot that just uses that language just because he just does. I don't like that. I despise that. But the person that uses the Lord's name in vain on purpose, I hate that person. I really do. I went to a meetup group in Minneapolis one time with some libertarian people, which politically we would have got along just fine. They found out I was a preacher, and I think most of them were atheists or something. And I know what they were doing. They wanted to get rid of me. And so, like, I think the second meeting that I went to, like, this guy, they made some comment, some derogatory comment about Christianity or Jesus or church or something. And then the one guy said, "Oh, praise Jeebus." And he was calling Jesus Jeebus. I hate that guy. I despise him. I didn't ever go back to that meeting again. I absolutely hate that. Those who are friends of the world are enemies of God. James 4 and verse 4. James 4 and verse 4. It says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Well, if you're the enemy of somebody, doesn't that mean you hate them? I mean, typically enemies hate each other, right? So if you are a friend of this world, you are an enemy of God. That's why we got to be really careful how we cozy up to this world. I mean, you got to live in it. You got to be in it, but not of it. And it's hard to be in it and not of it. But you don't ever want to love it. And you don't ever want to give it the impression that you love it. And that can be a balancing act sometimes to do. Now, wisdom says, "All they that hate me love death." You know, we're told in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. Right, so it makes sense. If you hate wisdom, you hate wisdom by sinning against her, by not keeping God's commandments, and the wages of sin is death. So if you hate wisdom and you sin against her, obviously you must love death because you're doing what leads to death. Remember, sin is the transgression of the law, and wisdom is found in the law, Proverbs 2:6. So when men hate God by rebelling against wisdom, they have a death wish. And I'll give you a couple of examples of that. It says in Proverbs 21 and verse 6 that they who get treasures by a lying tongue seek death. Now, obviously, they're seeking treasure. They don't know they're seeking death, but what they're actually seeking is death. Proverbs 21 and verse 6. See, the Bible tells us what men are really doing, what they're really thinking. Men deceive themselves, and they say they do, you know, doing this, and they're really doing something else. The Bible cuts right through all the crap and shows us what's really in man, what man is really thinking, despite what he says, because people say all kinds of stuff. But, you know, the Bible shows us what's really going on in their head. Proverbs 21 and verse 6 says, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." I have a little note there, which I've had there for many, many years, which says, "Neocons in the Iraq War, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue." They lied to get us in that war. Remember the whole weapons of mass destruction thing? Poor Colin Powell. I think he actually was a decent guy, but they roped him into that. He lied about it. And they got us into that war because of lies. And, of course, that war was about the getting of treasures. oil, control, power, whatever. I mean, even literal treasures. They, and I don't know if this is done by obeying a command or not, but there were soldiers that went into these ancient museums in what was what used to be Babylon, because Babylon was not far from Baghdad, and stole all these ancient artifacts, pried them off the walls, and took all this stuff. I'm sure priceless stuff that was thousands of years old, and just pillaged it and took it. Just stole it. Getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro, then that seek death. And then, of course, those who refuse wisdom's instruction and commit adultery or fornication with strange women are flirting with death. And I'll just quickly just read these verses that we've seen before, just to show you examples of what wisdom is talking about here. People that hate her, loving death. Proverbs 5:23. He shall die without instruction, and the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. This is the guy that, you know, that doesn't stick with his own wife, and he goes into a strange woman. Proverbs 7 and verse 23. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. This is that young foolish man that went to the way of her house and committed adultery with that whore, or at least fornication. And then verses 26 and 27. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. All they that hate me love death. And that takes care of Proverbs chapter 8.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.